Hello and welcome to Down to Earth, a podcast created by the environmental charity Hubbub. This season is all about fashion, because would you believe it, the fashion industry produces 10% of all carbon emissions and clothing production has roughly doubled since 2000. Alongside that, one garbage truck full of clothes is being burned or dumped in landfill every second. So we want to discover why we're buying so much and how our wardrobes impact the world around us. I'm Sarah Dyvel and I've been working in the environmental space for 7 years, but I've always been a big shopper. I love fashion and I love new clothes, and however much I learn about what the fashion industry is up to, I still find fast fashion a hard habit to break, and I find it really difficult to know how to dress sustainably. I know I'm not alone in that feeling, so I want to bring you with me as we meet the designers, experts, and changemakers who unpick why our wardrobes aren't working for us and for the planet. Today, I'm talking to Dr. Mila Burchakova, a research fellow at the Centre for Sustainable Fashion and the London College of Fashion, who through her PhD research was trying to find out why we value some clothes more than others and how the long-term future of fashion is being shaped by everyday concerns about our wardrobes. So thank you so much for joining us. If you could start by just introducing yourself, telling us who you are and what you do.
Hi, Sarah. Well, it's lovely being here. A pleasure to speak to you today. My name is Dr. Mila Burchakova, and I am researcher at Center for Sustainable Fashion. And my work revolves around looking at people's wardrobes, especially the what we call emotional durability of clothes in their wardrobes. And I also look at alternatives to how fashion could look like in the future. So my work also looks at micro and small fashion businesses, different fashion systems, and lately also at connections between fashion and agriculture, which is very exciting.
And to kick us off, I wonder, we ask everyone this, if you could describe to the listeners the outfit that you have on today and also why you picked it. It's a pretty grey day outside, so maybe you picked it for warmth.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, yes, my outfit today is quite a mixture. So, so you won't see the bottom bit, but the bottom bit are actually jeans that belong to my mum and that I kind of pinched last time I was there. And I keep wearing them, well, almost, you know, maybe 3-4 times a week. And yes, underneath this is a top that I made myself and was part of my work that I did for my doctoral research that I believe we'll talk about in more detail today. Over that, for warmth and also for color that cheers me up, is a jumper that's produced by one of the small businesses that we've worked with at Center for Sustainable Fashion. So that's been another favorite. And my earrings are a market find from a trip to southern France. So yeah, there's quite a, I'm wearing secondhand shoes. that I found when I last went to Slovakia. So yeah, quite a melange of different things, which is what my wardrobe and possibly many of our wardrobes look like.
And you're keeping the sustainable theme with all of your different items.
Perhaps I didn't, this is a bit adventurous, but I didn't mention my underwear, but actually my underwear comes from a lovely English brand that works with regenerative cotton farmers in India and produces items of underwear that are naturally dyed and made from regenerative cotton that supports local communities in India. So, yeah. Perhaps not that many people speak about underwear, and that's oftentimes a sort of sore subject, and you know that people don't really go into. But maybe in context of our today's conversation, that's important too.
So to kick us off proper and to get into the conversation, can you tell us what emotional durability means? Because I imagine a lot of listeners might not have an idea of what the phrase actually means.
emotional durability is essentially about cultivating deeper and more long-term relationship with things that we surround ourselves with. And in the context of our today's conversation, mainly with clothing that we use and that we purchase for our wardrobes. And, you know, as we know, clothing is currently so often treated as something that is quite disposable, with sad consequences for the environment, the people who make it, but also for ourselves. As users, we often move from one unsatisfying relationship with clothing to another. And this, for me, means waste on multiple levels. So it's waste of resources, waste of skills, but also waste of the deep satisfaction and pleasure and the sense of deep belonging that can be threaded into clothing if it's given the chance. And Jonathan Chapman, who's the author of the famous book on emotional durability of design, says that waste is almost a symptom of expired empathy, and it's a kind of failed relationship that leads to the dumping of one by another. So what emotionally durable design tries is to get deeper insights into the root causes behind a fast turnaround of things in our lives, and it looks at the emotional factors in key stages of the consumption process, from purchasing decisions through to product use and to disposal. And essentially it tries to design things that people do not want to throw away. But what I'd also like to emphasize is that the focus on emotional durability of clothes and their design is not enough. What's possibly even more important is paying a bit more attention to our own emotional durability and to our ability to build long-term relationships. So we need to, I think, get much better at nurturing the sensibilities that enable us to value and appreciate what we have before we move on to wanting something else.
And as part of the doctoral research that you were talking about, so you actually went and interviewed people in their homes, went through their wardrobes, you know, found out which were the items that they valued more than others. And I wondered what you learned from interviewing these people and actually seeing what happens inside somebody's home.
Yes, indeed. And it was very interesting. I did go in many cases literally inside of people's wardrobes. And unlike many other people, I actually did not count the clothes in the wardrobes. What I really wanted to do was to look at the kind of clothes that people wanted to show me and just kind of listen to the stories they wanted to tell me and actually try to listen to what they themselves found important and interesting to tell me. So really what I was interested in was not the quantities of clothes, but spotting those that do hold long-term interest and meaning and trying to understand why this may be. It's important also to say that these were two-way exchanges rather than one-way interviews. So it was like women's conversations about the kind of things that matter in everyday use of clothing. And I watched very much how people handle clothes, how they touch materials, how they maybe stroke fabrics, how they point out the details, and sometimes even smell materials. And these were sort of, in the end, quite intimate one-to-one exchanges about what really matters in everyday use. And one of the key things that I learned is that actually the time in our wardrobes unfolds at a much slower pace than we are often led to believe by the mainstream fashion system. You know, as we know, the current fashion tends to be faster and faster, but our relationships with the clothes in our wardrobes tend to unfold at much slower pace over many years and oftentimes over many decades. And while the system currently, as it stands, drains both material and human resources in chasing endless change. It seems to blindly ignore this aspect of people's wardrobes where, you know, the pace is much slower and tends to much more value continuity over change a lot of the time. So I think each of us probably have a garment that we've literally worn to shreds and would wear again and again until, you know, it's barely wearable. And this kind of feeling of that familiarity and of the sort of softness of material that molds to our bodies is often much more valuable to us, for example, than having something new. And also another important thing that I learned was that there is so much more in our wardrobes than just clothes and items of clothing and the material aspects, because our wardrobes seem to store, you know, lots of hopes, fears, family histories, current and past relationships, memories, successes, failures. They're almost like walking biographies, and I think this is something that we should keep in mind on everyday basis as we go and think about what to wear.
And is there any wardrobe or item in a wardrobe that stayed with you particularly? Any stories behind any of those clothes?
There were so many interesting stories, but one that really stuck with me, especially in terms of talking about the, you know, looking at clothes in many other ways, so rather than just visual ways, but also in exploring more senses of how we perceive fashion or what it is important for us to look for. There was a story of a woman whose father was imprisoned for political reasons in communist Czechoslovakia. And she told me that shortly before he went to prison, he brought a dress for her that had cherry pattern on it. And she was, at the time, she was 4. And then when we were looking through her wardrobe, that there seemed to be this repeating pattern of cherries on whatever you can think of, whether it was shirt, whether it was skirt, whether it was dress. And she kept telling me that whenever she says she sees something with cherries, she just can't help herself. She just goes for it, because there's somewhere there's this lingering memory of the dress she had at the age of 4. It should be said that at the time when I spoke to her, she was 73. So that tells you something about the trajectory that clothes can take in our lives. And what she did say, and that is a sentence that really sticks with me, and I think it will for a long time, she said, "I don't remember the dress, but I remember the feeling."
That's so beautiful. It makes me think of all the things in my wardrobe that I've kept, even though I maybe don't wear them that often, but because I remember a place that I wore them to, and seeing it in my wardrobe reminds me of that time. It exists for a different reason than just because I want to wear it every day. And talking about, you know, our feeling and our emotional connection to clothes, going back to something that you said earlier, why is it so important that we don't just design more durable clothes that last longer, but also that we change the way that we interact with the things that we own and the way that we value the clothes that we already have?
From my research, I found that emotional durability is something that relies on shared responsibility. So on the one hand, it is the responsibility of designers and of retailers to produce something and consider in their designs how their designs will withstand frequent and long-term use. But at the same time, each one of us also needs to recognize that, like any other relationship, our relationship to clothing needs to be an investment from both sides. So design in itself is not enough. It can be quite a lot in many cases, but it certainly isn't solution that resolves everything. And my conversations with women show that satisfaction and long-term relevance of clothes relies on choosing the items that really fit your lifestyles and the kind of needs that you have, but also your bodies and circumstances at the time. So, for example, Mary, one of the women I spoke to in my interviews, said that perhaps being less emotional when shopping for clothes may enable us longer lasting emotional experiences while we wear those clothes. So it is about choosing for long term rather than choosing at the spur of a moment and then thinking, what did I do this for?
If we're programmed as humans to like want new things, to chase that rush of buying something new, how do we rewire our brains to divert our needs away from having more stuff and buying more fashion and into actually a more rewarding long-term relationship with our wardrobes?
Very good question. It's very true. I think as humans, we do desire and long for new experiences. And that is, you know, if you think life would be terribly boring and unstimulating if we didn't long for something new to happen. And I think it's an important element of being human. So there is nothing wrong with the desire for new per se. But as you say, we also know that just endlessly chasing and following this desire doesn't really lead to more satisfaction or happiness. So isn't a solution in itself either. So I think like with many other things in life, we need to learn to cultivate a bit more moderation and discipline. So it's like, for example, it's really lovely to have a lion on a Sunday morning, but if you had a lion every day of the month, you'd probably go off the idea of it being an exciting and satisfying experience. So it's slightly similar. It's a bit of kind of, you know, push and pull. So there's nothing wrong with getting something new, but we need to be a bit more mindful about what we acquire and why. And sometimes also it's about finding the newness in new ways. So the newness doesn't always need to be in a new garment. It can be in looking at our existing wardrobes in a new way.
I love that you brought up that kind of idealistic dressing that I've definitely been guilty of, where I've been like, well, if I just buy that thing, then I'll look exactly like the woman who is advertising the dress, rather than actually dressing for myself and dressing in ways that like suits my body and the colours are right and the shapes are things I actually like to wear, rather than trying to like force myself into clothes that I don't look very good in because I want to look like somebody else, which I think is a trap that is really easy to fall into. And actually getting some distance from that, I realize how much money I've wasted on stuff that I probably never really liked in the first place. And so it was so easy to chuck it away because it made me feel bad. Whereas the clothes that I've kept and cherished and repaired are the ones that I chose because they genuinely suit me and I genuinely like them.
One of the things I noticed when I spoke to more and more women was that when I started the research, I thought I wanted to look at those failed relationships that Jonathan Chapman was talking about, you know, in his book that was hugely influential for me when I started the research. But what I realized that actually lots of those failed relationships weren't actually failed relationships. They weren't relationships in the first place because they were just exactly those kind of impulse purchases that should have never happened. And so by definition, you know, the relationship never even started. So it was about that sort of wrong decision which really leads you astray in your attempt to be somebody else, which, you know, which is easy to fall into. And I think we've all done it. And I don't know what your experience is like, but personally, I tend to find that, for example, when one gets a little bit more time over holiday or over Christmas break, there sometimes one arrives at this sort of like almost a flow in one's wardrobe where you wear something that you feel so comfortable in your own skin and in the clothes, because you just have the time to actually really think that this is who I am and this is what I want to wear. And you're slightly removed from that kind of constant external influence. So it's interesting that sometimes actually to have successful outward facing outfit, it's about the introspection as well as maybe visual references.
I wanted to ask you the question that we ask everyone at the end of this podcast, which is, if the industry could change one thing today to make the biggest change to the environment, what would it be? And the same for people at home listening, if they could make one change to the way that they dress and what they buy, what would be the most impactful?
So I think one single and most effective change that really needs to happen in the industry is reducing the overall volume of production. Because as we know, currently we are in a situation when we have staggering amounts of volumes of overproduction, and this is totally unsustainable and not compatible with finite limits of the planet. So unless we address the volume of overproduction, any other efficiencies that we try to achieve within the system are really not efficient enough to address the issues we should be addressing. And for people's wardrobes, and I think we touched on it several times in our conversation, but I think one most effective change that we can all do in our wardrobes is to pay a bit more attention to how we use things and what we use and why, and then take this experience to any new purchases that we make. And we'll find that by doing this, our choices will not only be more environmentally, socially, and culturally sustainable, but we will all have also a much more satisfying and pleasurable experience from our wardrobes that sometimes can be a source of frustration if we, you know, if we just get perhaps too emotional at that point when we see that, oh, lovely dress, and then you realize that you actually never go to social occasions where that dress could be worn. I spoke to one woman who had incredible collection of occasion wear and high heels, and she lived at a farm in Derbyshire, and we had this moment of her looking at this and she's like, oh, well, perhaps I don't need these kind of clothes. My usual work day means that I'm at work for 10 hours, then I come back home and it's incredibly cold, so I put a coat over my old clothes. And yet I have a full collection of occasion wear that would, you know, work for somebody who has totally different kind of job maybe in central London. But yeah, so it's interesting, you know, how we make our decisions. At the same time, it's kind of, as you say, it's a lot of the time it's aspirational. It's almost like for her, I think it was the experience of, oh, actually, yeah, I live here, but wouldn't that be nice if I could sometimes make use of this kind of clothing.
I hope that you enjoyed my chat with Dr. Mila Berchikova. I loved learning about emotional durability and how brands and designers might be able to start making products that people are more attached to and want to keep and take care of for a long time. It also gave me a chance to reflect on the things that have stood the test of time in my own wardrobe, and I wanted to throw the question out to you. So, is there an item in your wardrobe that you're so attached to that you never get rid of it? And if there is, what is it that makes it so special? You can email in and let me know. As always, our email is hello@hubbub.org.uk. This podcast was presented by me, Sarah Dyvel, created by Hubbub and produced by Ellie J.